Well, take your Bibles this morning and turn to the graveyard of the Bible. The graveyard of the Bible. You know where that is, don't you? Genesis chapter number 5. Genesis 5. And as you're turning this, hey, Brother Scheller, the gravy, this sounds like an encouraging message. It will be. It really will be. But we got to get through all these deaths, first of all. I want to say a few things about my pastor. First of all, I'm thankful. And I mean this. I'm thankful that I have a pastor that is in demand all the way around the world. I'm glad that I have a pastor that other people want to hear. I'm glad that I have a pastor who's willing. And you know, church, Lancaster Baptist Church, and I know you understand this, but it does need to be told to us that our pastor, our under-shepherd that the Lord's given to us is being used all over our country and all over the world. And you know what? God's going to take care of us, and God's going to meet our needs. We ought to be thankful that we have a pastor that can go out and travel and speak all over, and the Lord is using him in such a mighty way. And I'm thankful that I'm part of a church that our pastor is wanted and desired all over the country. Then secondly, I wanted to talk for just a moment about our theme this year. And back in January, they had a little brochure out on when the theme came out, I Will Build, and it had a little list of all of the themes that the church has done over these last years. And they were really good. I really enjoyed reading those. I said, oh, that must have been a great year. Oh, that was a really good theme. But I want you to know, I can't think, and I don't know Pastor as well as many of you, but I cannot think of a theme that this church has ever had that fits our pastor better than I Will Build. And I think that his desire to see the Lord work. But you know what? Do know this very much in the times that I'm with Pastor that I see. It isn't I will build buildings. It is to see Christ built in the lives of each one of us. And the desire that he has. And if there is one phrase that summarizes our pastor, it is fruit that remains. And everything that we see being built is for those three words to take root. I think that's our desire in the college. I think that's the desire in our adult Bible fellowship. Fruit that remains, I will build. Now, we've had some of the best messages on stewardship, grace giving, I personally have ever heard in my entire life. We've got Easter coming up, and there's going to be a great push on evangelistic endeavors, and rightly so. But in the midst of both of these, we need to make sure that we build something else too. So Lancaster Baptist Church, guests that are with us today, and those college students that are here today, we need to make sure that we are building our walk with the Lord. That we come, all of the service and all of the ministry that we're doing is coming out of our walk with God. So I've entitled this message, I Will Build My Walk with God. And I want you to look at Genesis chapter 5, and I want you to see the graveyard, the cemetery of the Bible. Look with me, starting at verse number 5, you guys can help me a little bit. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and everyone together, give me a big... died. Not bad. You know what? The early service actually did a little bit better with that. Maybe they were more dead. I don't know. But they did a little bit better. All right, look down to verse 8. And Seth and he... Okay, help me out here. Verse number 11. And Enos and he... Oh, that was better. There you go. And Canaan and... Oh, verse number 14. Canaan and he... Mahalalel. Verse 17. And he... Jared, and verse number 20, Jared and he, verse 27, Methuselah and he, took him a little longer, but he died too, okay? And then look at verse 31, Lamech and he, I'm sorry, I forgot one. And Enoch and he, no, he didn't. No, Enoch didn't, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Enoch did not die. Here we are in the midst of this cemetery. There's no passage of scripture that's got more, and he died, and he died, and he died. And there's nothing said about any of these guys. But then we come to Enoch, and Enoch doesn't die. And I want you to see something about this man. Enoch is only one of two people of the billions of people that have walked on this earth. There are only two, except for those that are not right now, but there are only two that have not died. Besides those living right now, every person that's recorded in God's word died except for two, Enoch and Elijah. Do you know that Enoch is only one of only two people in the entire Bible that it said he pleased God? Now, we know that there's several people that please God, but there's only two phrases that said he pleased God. One is Enoch, and the other is Jesus Christ. Do you know that Enoch is one of only two people that it is said he walked with God? The other is Noah. Now, we know that there's other people that walked with the Lord. But it is said of Enoch, he walked with God. It is said of Enoch, he pleased God. And Enoch and Elijah are the only two that never experienced death. They were translated out of this world. Now, we come to our passage in verse 21. And it says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Someone in my adult Bible fellowship came from the early service this morning and came in and said, you know, Brother Shetler, did you notice that the last five letters of Methuselah is Selah? And Selah means to rest, stop, and consider. Well, you know what? That really is going to be interesting because we are going to study a little bit about Methuselah. We're going to stop and consider his name. He begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Number one, I want you to see this. Brother Chandler, how will we build my walk with God? Well, number one, you must have a starting point to this walk. There has to be a starting point. There was with Enoch. You say, no, you know, Brother Scheller, Enoch probably walked with God all his life. No, he did not. Look again at verse 21 and 22. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. Hey, you did good before. Help me again, would you? And Enoch walked with God. What's the next word? After he begot Methuselah. 65 years, the Bible does not indicate that Enoch walked with God. But then he had a son. Now that'll do it to you. You have a boy, that'll wake you up. I do believe that outside of the day I got saved and outside of the day I got married, I think the third most exciting day of my life was the day my oldest son was born, Ben. You say, well, Brother Shelton, you have three sons. Yeah, I know, but the other two don't really care. But no, I think Luke and Drew are in here. But you know what? When you hold your first child, it is incredibly sobering. I mean, it is a thrill beyond words, but it is also an amazing responsibility to realize this child needs you. You know, I believe it's a great time to reach lost people is when they have children. I think that there's a natural humility of this is beyond what I can do. And it was a miracle of God, that life. So you've got two great forces working on a parent right then. So if you know lost people and they have children, it's a great time to seek them for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think they're overwhelmed with their responsibility and they are absolutely awed by the miracle of that birth and that only God could produce that life. And so it was with him. However, there was a time when Enoch did not walk with God. And then the son came, and he started walking. And may I share this with every one of you in here? Nobody is born walking with God. There has got to be a time in your life that you begin this journey. You begin this walk with Him. If you're here today, you might have believed about God all day, but you haven't had a journey with Him. There may be some in here that say, oh, listen, man, I've been going to church ever since I was a kid. Man, I got to tell you, my parents had me in church since I was a kid. It has nothing to do with your walk with God. There has to be a beginning. Look with me, if you would, at the verse there in your, and you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I want to tell you today, if you're here today and you've been walking the wrong way, the very fact that you're in this auditorium right now is the fact that God wants you to have a different walk. The very fact that you're here today, I don't care where your feet have trod. I don't care where your feet have gone. I want you to know about somebody whose feet went up at Calvary for your sin. Nobody starts out with a walk with God in their life. Every person has to have a beginning to this walk. For me, it was when I was 12 years old. I recognized the fact, I believe God loves me. I believe God's got a purpose for my life. I believe God's got a plan for my life. And even though I was only 12 years old, I sensed that the God who created me loved me. But then I was told, and it didn't take much telling, that I knew that I had thought things, that I had said things, and that I had done things that were contrary to the laws of God. I was a sinner, in other words. I knew that I had sinned in my mind. I knew that I had taken God's name in vain and had sinned many times in lies out of my mouth. And I knew that I had done things in my life that were contrary to God's word. And I knew that I was a sinner, but I believed God loved me. And then I was told about Jesus Christ. Christ coming to this world. Christ living the perfect life. And then Christ suffering and dying in place of Jim. And I believed that what Christ did on that cross was for me. And I understood and believed that He was put in a tomb, was sealed for 3 days, and then rose again. And I recognized the fact that God the Father accepted God the Son's sacrifice for my sin and rose from the grave. And as a 12-year-old boy who came and was brought up in a religious home, I trusted Christ as my Savior, and the journey began. No, I wasn't saved when I was 10. Had I died when I was 6 years old, I would have gone to hell. Had I died when I was 11 years old, I would have been in hell. There was a time when I was not walking the way I should. And my friend, if you're here today, and you have never had a beginning to your walk with God, it's possible that today could be that day of salvation for you. God's got you in this auditorium. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a love. You're hearing this message today because He desires a walk with you. He desires a relationship with you. You say, oh, Brother Schiller, I've heard about God. I've heard about Jesus. But today could be the start of that relationship and of that walk. Notice in the development of your walk with God, you must have a starting point. Now, Enoch was developed a need to want to walk with God. Jeremiah 29, verse 12 and 13, it says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. Well, Brother Shetler, what created this in him? Okay, he's 65 years old. Okay, I understand the thing about the sun, and that's a good point. You know, you have a child, it kind of wakes you up. But wow, this guy's life is never the same because he had a son? Well, the key is the son that he had. Notice what it says. And all the days of, and Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Now, if you've never heard this before, you're going to find this to be extremely interesting. I remember years ago when the first time I ever found out what Methuselah's name meant, I went, whoa. The pieces of the puzzle all came together, why Enoch began to walk with God. The word Methuselah means this. It's a long definition for the one word Methuselah. And when he dies, it shall come. When he dies, it shall come. You go, what kind of, you know, can you imagine? What a name. Oh, here comes when he dies, it shall come. What an unusual name. When he dies, it shall come. You know what? I would imagine that the majority of you know what the it is there. Would you say it with me? When he dies, what shall come? The flood. The flood. By the way, I was thinking about this. Talk about protective parents. Can you imagine Enoch and his wife? No, Methuselah, you cannot get that. No, 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 stay away. No, 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 Methuselah. You die, we're all gone, man. That's it. I mean, Methuselah probably couldn't do it. No wonder he lived so long. He couldn't do anything in his life, you know. But no, 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 Methuselah. You know, the other kids, go ahead. You guys do what you want. No, Methuselah, you die. Because when you die, it's over. By the way, talk about the long-suffering of God. The man who lives the longest on this earth. Nobody lived as long as Methuselah. The man who lives the longest on this earth. Judgment doesn't come until he dies. 969 years. Hey, almost a millennial this man lived. You say, Brother John, you don't really believe those years. Oh, I absolutely believe them. For the number one reason, because the Bible says it. I don't struggle with the word yom, day, in Genesis 1. I believe it was 6 days. And I don't struggle with the word years here. It means years. I believe that we talk about climate change today. No greater climate change that there has ever been in all of human history than after the flood. A completely different climate, a completely different diet, a completely different world. But I will tell you, God in his long suffering says, when Methuselah dies, that's it. Now, according to what I understand what the world was like, I would have probably gone about 60 years and said, that's it, I'm done. He waits 969 years. And you know what? He's been waiting for some of you for a long time. There's some of you in this room right now that are adults. You're in your 30s, you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. And God brought you here today, and he has waited a long time for you to start a walk with him, for you to start a relationship with him. And I want you to know, my friend, judgment is coming. And Enoch understood that. And Enoch's life changes because of the judgment that is to come. Enoch made a decision to want to walk with God because he knew what was going to happen. This wasn't about a toddler. This was about the truth. And he knew what was going to happen. I will say this. You don't get saved until there's a need. Nobody trusts Christ until there's a need. If you came in here today and you have a great need going on in your life right now, God may be able to use that for you to start a relationship with him. Yesterday, we took 29 college students and we went to Phoenix and we helped canvas for a new church there from one of our graduates. Andy Reed is starting South Hills Baptist Church in Phoenix. And yesterday, my wife and I had 20-some college students, and we went out canvassing, and we knocked on and tried to at least talk to over 3,800 homes yesterday, and we came back with over 130 contacts for Andy to go visit these next couple weeks. It was really good. And in the morning, the neighborhood I was in, kind of middle-class neighborhood, And I got three great contacts. One of our girls got 9, I think, contacts, and just really good ones to visit back. In the afternoon, they put me in a very well-to-do neighborhood. I mean, there was no question that every one of these homes was way over $500,000, $600,000. No question at all. And I'm sure some of them, and just even the few doors that we did see open and looked inside, I mean, they were very plush homes. But I noticed such a difference. First of all, this is not an exaggeration. I have never knocked in a neighborhood that had more no solicitation signs in the neighborhood that was in. There were times you'd go three homes, no solicitation, no solicitation. You know what the problem was? And then when I talked to anybody in that neighborhood, there was such a hardness. There were a couple people that was just like disgust, like, what are you doing at my house? And I thought to myself, you know, the finances means of the people in those homes were much greater than what I did in the morning. And they don't believe that they need Jesus. And my friend, if you don't have a need for Jesus, chances are you're not going to be walking with them. It is need that causes us to walk with God. And there's got to be a starting point to your walk with the Lord. And there was with Enoch. Enoch, when he had Methuselah and realized when he dies, that's it. That got a hold of this man's heart. And my friend, today, I hope that if you're here, God will get a hold of your heart. Because today could be your beginning of your journey. In order to develop a walk with the Lord, number one, there has to be a starting point. Now, some of you say, well, you know, Brother Sean, that was a great point for the lost. Man, I hope some people get saved today. I do too. But some of you that have been saved for some time need to get back to a starting point. You need to make a decision and start walking with the Lord again. Some of you have been walking down the wrong trail for a long time. You have had that relationship with Christ and you know you're saved, but you're not walking where you need to right now in your spiritual journey. Number two, you must be a surrendered person. Number one, you got to have a start. You must have a starting point. Number two, you must be a surrendered person. So, Brother Shetler, I mean, there's not too many verses here. How do you know? How do you know this guy was surrendered? How do you know this Enoch guy was surrendered? One word. One word. Look with me. Would you say it with me? We already talked about one preposition after he begot Methuselah. Would you help me with this preposition? Look at verse 24. And Enoch walked. Everybody in this auditorium, what's the next word? And Enoch walked with God. I'm 57. I've been saved for over 40 years. This is an indictment on my spiritual. I know I'm smiling because I always do. But this is an indictment on my life. Okay, this is not a good thing. Most of my life in my journey with the Lord has either been before God. Come on, God, catch up to what I got going on. Or, Lord, are you sure that's what you want? I've walked behind God. How about you? I've walked in front of God. How about you? But Enoch walked with God. And you do not walk with someone unless you are submitted to them. I tell you right now, Enoch was a surrendered man. I'm going to tell you why. Because he walked with God. The Bible says in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, can two walk together unless they be agreed? You can't be walking with God if you're not surrendered. It doesn't happen. You can walk behind God and not be surrendered. You can walk in front of God and not be surrendered, but you're not walking with God if you're not surrendered. But I don't know about you, but I, over the years, have you ever seen people walk dogs before? Or have you ever seen dogs walk people before? And you know what? By the way, some of you are trying to walk God. You're not healing so well. But you know what? You know the police officers, and they got one of those canine units. Now, they have a leash on them, but you really sense, you know what? It's just for show. They don't need that leash. That dog isn't going anywhere until that police officer says. I have a cousin. Her name's Carol. For years back in the late 70s and in the 80s, I think for over 10 years, Carol trained the dogs at Rochester, Michigan for the leader dog for the blind. And how those dogs would come out, they were so incredibly obedient. And they would go, they never go before the blind person. They're never behind the blind. They're always with them. And why? Because they have a totally surrendered will to their master. You know, some of you haven't been walking with God, and there's only one reason. You're not a surrendered person. I guarantee you, Enoch walked with God, showing his submission. Are you going to go God's way or your way? Can two walk together except they be agreed? You cannot build your walk with God until you demolish your will for self. You're not going to be doing any walking with God until, first of all, you surrender your will under His. Now, there's many of you in this auditorium that know Christ as your Savior. You have the starting point, but you have not gone very far in your journey with him because you have not submitted and surrendered your will. On September 2nd, 1945, in Tokyo Bay, on the USS Missouri, Japan did something. On September 1st, 1945, Japan and America were mortal enemies, fighting each other and killing each other. But on the USS Missouri, on September 2nd, 1945, and I've happened to, it's parked in the bay at Pearl Harbor, and I've had the chance to go see the USS Missouri and see the very location where the Japanese surrendered their sword over to the United States forces. Do you know, you think about what happened to Japan in these last 70 years. Japan's one of our greatest allies. The Japanese culture and society took on immediately an Americanization. I'm not saying it's all been good, but I am going to tell you this. When they surrendered to America, they walked with America. And friend, I want you to know, you will never walk with God until you surrender your will. Jesus said in the garden, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. You can be at a Bible college, students, and not have a surrendered will and not walk with God. You can be a member of Lancaster Baptist Church and not be walking with God. If there is an area that has not been surrendered to him. Number three, how do you develop this walk, Brother Shetler? You must have a starting point. You must be a surrendered person. Number three, you must develop a steady pace. You must develop a steady pace. You know, if you stop and think about this for just a minute, okay, he's 65 when he begins to walk with the Lord. He lives till he's 365 years old. For 300 years, he walked with God. Man, I find it quite a challenge sometimes to walk 3 days with God, 3 hours with the Lord. He walked with God for 300 years. He walked with the Lord. I'll tell you how you do this. You do this with a steady pace. You do this step by step. Some of the biggest struggles I have in my life, I'm kind of a spurt kind of guy. It's like, all right, let's do this, man. Let's go all out, man. Let's do this. Let's go, go, go. But you know, Christian life isn't that way. The Christian life isn't. The Christian life needs to be a steady pace. Now, I told the first service this. I've told very few people this throughout my life until this morning, and now I'm going to be telling you. I have asthma. And so I have a bronchial type of asthma. I don't usually really need an inhaler or whatever, but I'll tell you where it gets me. The beginning of exercise, no matter what it is, and people, you know, like if I'm going on a hike or going on a run and somebody's with me, after 3-4 minutes, they're thinking, man, Brother Shell is going to die. I went with the Dorm Soups up Baden-Powell Mountain last fall. And it's a good climb, you know. It's a decent climb, almost 10,000 feet, and we got started. We're going, and I knew this was going to happen, and I knew already this. When you have this, and you go with people, you just know these things are going to happen. So we're going, and we go about 3 minutes into the hike, and the rest of the Dorm Soups are like, you know, they're like this, you know, like that. And I'm going, I'm dying, and they're going like, wow. I don't think we're going back with the Vice President of Student Affairs, man. We're gonna lose Dr. Shetler, man. He ain't gonna make it. Now I know what's gonna happen. Give me about 10 minutes and get a breathing pace going, and I can go. I'm fine. Matter of fact, I beat a lot of those Dorm Soups to the top of the mountain, okay? And I'm not sure all those guys made it back. I don't know, but I was fine, but I got to tell you, the first 5 minutes, and I know that a couple of them were ahead of me, and I know they were talking about me, like, man, Shetler, he ain't going to make it. But I got to take time to get a pace, but once I get a pace, I can breathe, and I can acclimate, and I'm okay. You know what? Some of you, your Christian experience has been a sprint and then nothing. And then a sprint. And you're constantly out of breath in your Christian life. You're constantly, you know why? Because it's got to be a steady pace. If you're going to develop a walk with God, it's not a developing a run with God. We're not running with God here. We're walking with the Lord. So I want to share a couple things with you. The daily routines of your Christian life become extremely important in a pace. That, you know what? You don't need to add so many things into your Christian life. You need to be steady with the things that God has laid on your heart. You know, many times we feel like, well, I got to memorize all these verses. Oh, I got to do this. I got to spend all this time out there. I got to do it. And you're wearing out the Christian life. And then you lose your joy in serving Him. But when you take the steady pace and you do those, for 300 years this man walked with God. For 300 years he did the things that the Lord laid on his heart, not more, not less. He didn't go before, he didn't go after, he walked with. Boy, that is so important. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Enoch's walk was a day by day. Now I know I may be pushing it a little bit on this point, but isn't this interesting? Okay, 365 equals, oh, Brother Scheller. He lived 365 years. That's like how many days in a year? Yeah, I know. I don't know what that means, but could it mean he lived day by day? He lived day by day. And I will tell you, if we are going to develop a walk with God, it's not year by year. It's not month by month or week by week. The walk with God needs to be day by day. And the routines that you put in to the God's will is not distant. God's will is daily. I think so often we want to kind of like, okay, there it is. I'm going to really run towards that. No, pace yourself. Make it be a steady pace. Enoch did, and he walked with God. Bible says in Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Number four, I think this is an important point. You must have a starting point. You must be a surrendered person. You must develop a steady pace. And number four, you must take a strong position. Now, take your Bibles. I know you have it written there in your notes, but take your Bibles and turn over to Jude. Jude verse 14 and 15. I'll let you choose the chapter, but turn to Jude 14 and 50. The book of Jude, verse 14 and 50. There are only three references of Enoch in the entire Bible. We're going to be looking at the one in Hebrews in just a moment. There's this one in Jude, and then the one, of course, we read as our text today in Genesis. And I want you to see this. Jude, verse 14 and 15. Because something takes place. Now, we know only two men, it was ever said, that they walked with God. Enoch is one of them. So what was involved with this walk that he developed? This will develop your walk with God. And Enoch also, verse 14, the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Whether Methuselah liked it or not, I would imagine that Methuselah probably was brought as an object lesson wherever he preached. When my son dies, that will be it, my friend. I'm not sure he knew it was going to be a flood. But I'll tell you what he did know. My son dies. That's it. This young man dies. And you're dead. Everyone's going to be destroyed right here. He preaches coming judgment. I even think he's looking at a future even judgment. Look at verse 15. Now, by the way, just to make sure you all are still awake, let's see if we find out the operative word here in verse 15. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And what's the operative word there, folks? Ungodly. You know what this guy did? And by the way, try preaching to the ungodly. This man took a position and he took a stand. And Enoch took a stand for the Lord. I'm sure he was persecuted. I'm sure he was denied. We always think of Noah. Do you know Enoch is actually the first prophet in the Bible? And Enoch's before Noah. Enoch preached a coming judgment to come. But that stand made his walk with the Lord closer. Now, I am going to be very careful what I say, because I believe very possibly in our generation we're going to experience this. And I don't want my conscience, and I don't want any of you to say, man, I can't believe how flippantly you talked about that day you preached, and look at what we're going through. I personally believe that if the Lord tarries much longer, we are going to go through persecution. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You can't live for God. You can't be godly and not have the ungodly persecute you. And I believe that that principle has always been true throughout history. So I guarantee you, if this man's preaching against ungodliness, I guarantee he's being persecuted. But I will tell you what persecution does do to the church. Persecution develops a deeper walk with the Lord like you've never experienced. I am not up here saying, man, I can't wait for persecution to come to the church, because when it comes, man, we're going to be hurting. And I even believe there's little signs of it, especially around the world. In America, I don't think we know much of it. But I will tell you, my friend, the world landscape right now is an indicator that persecution's on its way. But Christian, that persecution will develop a stronger walk than you will ever know in the Lord. And by the way, whenever you take a stand, it could be your dorm room. It could be at your job place. It could be in your neighborhood. It could be with your own relatives. It could be with your family. And you go to an outing and you take a stand about some sin that is so blatant with your relatives and your family, and you take a stand, guess what? You're going to be persecuted. You know what's interesting? The sin that's within your family and your relatives, and I do believe there's a way to handle that, and I do believe we can handle it with love, but I will also tell you this. Our family and our relatives many times will go against us because we're not accepting of some sin in our family. When it's like, whoa, what's the deal here? The problem's not with us, the problem's with the sin in our relatives. But yet we're the ones being persecuted, but I'll tell you what it'll do. Your stand for the Lord will make your walk with Christ greater. And some of you, you're so ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ in your workplace. Your stand will develop a stronger walk. Large A, your walk will at some point affect your witness. Your walk with Christ will cause you to stand for judgment to come, sins to avoid, and love with truth. Hey, I just want you to know, you must take a strong position if you're going to walk with the Lord. Number five, as we close, you must have a secret place. You must have a secret place. Brother Scheller, I want to develop my walk with Christ. I want to get to know my Lord more. Then you have to have a secret place. There has got to be, oh, Brother Scheller, this is going to be good. I got it. I go down J Avenue, and I go to about, it's somewhere between 100th and 120th. There's a little dirt road. And I go down that dirt road, and I just have times. Sometimes I play some Christian music. I have my Bible with me. It's my little place. It's my secret place. Nobody knows about it. It's a little dirt road off J. That's not what I'm talking about. Oh, Brother Scheller, I'm a college student, and it's hard around here. But I got a little corner in a room in Revels, and I know a time when no one else is around, and I go up there. It's my little secret place with the Lord. It's not what I'm talking about. Yeah, Brother Scheller, I've got a room in my house. It's my secret place. It's where I meet with God. That's not what I'm talking about. I have all those things, by the way. I've got a piece outside of my house. I've got a place inside my house. I've got a place in Revels. I've got a place in this church. That there's different places I go that I just need some quiet time, but that's not the secret place. Let me show you what the secret place is. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 91? You say, well, Brother Charlotte, you've got it printed in there. No, 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 no. You need to see the other two verses in Psalm 91 that I didn't purposely print in there. God didn't love Enoch more than me. Well, you know, God just really loved Enoch and he wanted to walk with Enoch. Me, he doesn't really care that. No, no, no. God does not love. The God that Enoch had is the same God I have. And the relationship that God had with Enoch is a relationship that I can have. I even have the Holy Spirit now. But I want you to see what the secret place is. I don't mean to be funny with this, but the secret place is not a place. The secret place is a person. Look at Psalm 91, verse 1. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Brother Schiller, it sure seems to me like it's a place. Look at verse 9. If you've never done this before, take verse 1 and draw a line down to verse number 9, and we're going to find out what the secret place is. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy, everyone together, what's that word? Habitation. Good, good job. Habitation. Now let me tell you, that is exactly the same Hebrew word as dwelleth in verse 1. Your habitation, your dwelling place, your lodging, your secret place is Jesus Christ. Now this is your walk. You see, the fact of the matter is, it's not a little dirt road off of Avenue J. You have Jesus Christ with you. The secret place, the way that you develop your walk with the Lord is understanding and experiencing the presence of Christ in your daily life. To be able to understand, you don't have to get to some room to have a time with the Lord. I'm not saying we don't need that. I'm not downing that at all. But I will tell you, how do you develop your walk with the Lord? Look at large A. It is a relationship that pleases God by faith. So what does it say about our guy Enoch in Hebrews 11? By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. By the way, I believe that the way that Enoch and Elijah were taken up is the way the generation that gets raptured is going to be taken up. I think Enoch and Elijah are perfect pictures of the church being raptured. And there's going to be a generation, and I believe we live in that generation. I believe we live in the generation that's going to hear the trumpet. I believe we live in the generation that's going to see the return of Christ. And it may be this afternoon. And my friend, when that happens, I don't think Enoch knew which day it was that he was translated up. I don't think that the Lord told him. And by the way, we're not talking about somebody that he walked on some trail with. These little theophanies that God in, it manifests himself in incarnate form and he walked with Enoch. No, that did not happen, my friend. And I'll tell you how I know it didn't happen, because Enoch had to live by faith. Enoch had to live by faith. It wasn't like he heard some voice out there. Enoch lived by faith. And that was his walk and that was his relationship. Look what it says in Hebrews 11:6. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Wait a second. Brother Sheldon, that wasn't his testimony in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it says that he walked with God. In Hebrews 11:6, it says that he pleased God. And now we understand. How do you develop a walk with God? In the Old Testament, it says that Enoch walked with God. In the New Testament, it says that he pleased God. So those two words are synonymous. So how did he please God? Look what it says. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to walk with God, to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, the walk was the pleasing by faith. My friend, this is not a religion. This is a relationship that we have with Jesus Christ on a day-by-day basis. Large B, it says, a fellowship that pleases God by purity. It says in 1 John, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. How do we develop this walk, Lord, Jim? How do we develop this walk with our Lord? Two ways. It is a relationship of faith that you please him. And number two, it is a fellowship of purity with him. As you stay pure and as you live by faith in Christ, that development of that walk with him, what's he asking you right now? You know, Brother Shetler, I want to develop my walk with him. Well, then you got to have a starting point. Some of you have been saved for a long time, but you haven't started a walk with him. This morning, you could say, you know what? It's time to start walking with God. You need to be a surrendered person. You need to surrender your will to God. You must develop a steady pace. Lord, I need to be more consistent in my walk. You need to make a stand in your position. And you must have a secret place. And that secret place is your relationship with Christ as you trust in him. When my wife and I lived on a kibbutz, the night that we left, we went and visited an Israeli pilot that we had witnessed to. His name was Benny. And we were sitting in there. I don't remember what time we got over there. Marilee and I think it was around 9 or 10 o'clock at night. I do remember what time we left. It was 1:30 in the morning before we left. And we were going to leave for Tel Aviv at 4:30 in the morning. So we knew we weren't going to get much sleep. And I didn't want to go. I wanted to stay on the kibbutz. I didn't want to come back to America. But I remember talking to Benny that night. Till 1:30 in the morning. And somewhere in the conversation, Benny said these words. He said, I am jealous. As soon as he said that word, Marilee and I perked up because that's Romans 11. The Gentiles are supposed to provoke the Jews to jealousy that we have their God. And Benny says, I am jealous. You have a relationship, a walk with my God. They were like, yes. I said, that's right, Benny. He is your God. And he wants a relationship with you. He wants to walk with you through life. That night, Benny did not receive the Lord. But he understood. And he saw. You have my God. You have a walk with him. When I was a 10, 11, 12-year-old boy, I'd go into this cathedral place that was called a church, and I'd go into a little closet, and I'd sit down on this little stool, and I'd open up a little box, and I was supposed to tell the guy next to me in this other room that I couldn't see, I was supposed to tell him the sins that I committed. You think I did that? No way. I made up the sins. Well, that would be lying. Yeah, well, that's another one then. And I remember as a 10, 11, 12-year-old boy, I thought, what is this? What is this? That's not a relationship. That's a religion. But God wants to walk with you. God wants a relationship with you. And it just as much as Enoch walked every day for 300 years with God, God wants to walk with you. God wants to be in everything in your life. God wants you to put your faith in him and trust in him. Take a stand for him. Have a steady pace and be surrendered to his will. And my friend, you can walk with God like Enoch. Enoch doesn't have a corner on walking with God. We can walk with God in the same relationship. And would it be maybe we would be the generation that God says, I'm bringing you home. I'm bringing you home.